This is episode 14 of the Empowered Equestrian Podcast. I am your host, Lizanne Roy. I am a certified horseback riding instructor, homesteader, and blogger. I am on a mission to educate, inspire, and guide the people around me to finally attain the seemingly unattainable. I started out my career path focused on being a rider, and subsequently teaching horseback riding. But I never saw how the rest of my life affected it, or any other goal in fact. Over the years, I have become much more aware of the intrinsic nature of the human existence, and I have realized that everything I do can strengthen or weaken the other aspects of my life, depending on how I integrate them. This is when I started to become empowered. Empowered in the realization that my whole self goes well beyond what I thought it could, and that I can craft a unique and fulfilling life by finding synergy between all of my passions. I am an equestrian who is empowered by the knowledge and understanding I have accumulated in my life. My core is made stronger by everything that I have added to who I am along the way. I hope to help people on their journey to discover what their core is, and how the other aspects of their lives could help them find their power. I am the Empowered Equestrian. Who are you? A very impactful practice that I have that I integrated into my routine many years ago was using music as a transition between tasks and events, and to help me switch my mindset and deal with strong emotions. I'm not really big into listening to music in general. Like, I don't play music all the time, every time. As an HSP, I find too much mental stimulation to be really aggravating at times. So too much noise, strong sense, or tactile feelings can all be very grating on me. So for example, if I were to need to focus on a task, generally I need total silence or white noise of some kind. And if I'm listening to music, I'm completely focused and I can't not be completely focused on the rhythm and the lyrics. And if I try to focus on something else at the same time, I become very easily distracted and irritable and it just doesn't work. So music for me is a reset. It sets the mood for whatever I'm about to do, or helps me recover from a bad mood so that it doesn't overflow into the rest of my life. And it can help me stay out of my head and not have spiraling anxious thoughts. I often use it when I'm riding to stop me from worrying about anything like upcoming events and like possible injury because I'm riding and maybe the horse is nervous or something like that. So it can help me focus sometimes, but it's more unfocusing that it helps me with. Helps me get out of my head and stop me overthinking things. So using music to reset between aspects of my life helps me have a clear transition between anything that I need a transition in. I don't forget about the crap that happened or the shitty comment or the scary moment. But it kind of smooths over intense emotions and makes them more manageable so that it feels a little further away, almost like it happened a little longer ago. This is why when I go to vent or talk about it later, I don't have all of the intensity or the original feelings built up. I can just talk it out. And I don't do this every time. I'm not perfect with this practice, but it's something that I attempt to do anytime that I feel I need it. Despite it being different for everyone, there is a right and a wrong way to, quote, decompress. And I despise that term, by the way, but just so you know what we're talking about. We need to be able to express anger and sadness and frustration or whatever it is we are feeling without tossing a ton of verbal diarrhea and toxic energy at our loved ones, especially if we don't know necessarily what they're going through at that moment. Yes, we need to be able to rely on those closest to us to help us through hardships of life, whether that be daily bullshit or big life events, but we cannot expect them to shoulder it for us. We can't dump all of our burdens on them and leave it for them to deal with, especially if we never took the time to go through them ourselves and deal with them before this. We can't make our problems someone else's. And we also cannot expect it to be a one-way street. Although a lot of personality types would gladly take on everything we could ever need to let go of, that is not right for us to ask of them or to allow them to do, because often it's kind of an impulse that they have. There are people out there that are sponges for life issues. They seem to be these infinitely capable black holes that can just take away all of our worries and insecurities and concerns. But all of that emotion goes somewhere. It is the basic physics of the human condition. Nothing is ever created and nothing is ever lost. That applies just as much to our mental, physical, and emotional energy as it does to the energy in the universe. The cycle generally goes like this. Something happens around us or to us. It makes us feel a certain way. Then when we feel incapable of dealing with those emotions, thoughts, or worries, we attempt to rid ourselves of them. And more often than not, we attempt to do that outwardly, ridding ourselves of the emotional trash by throwing it away in a ditch on some remote back road. We think it is gone, and we forget about it eventually, not realizing that that remote back road was likely someone else's front yard. So yes, we rid ourselves of the emotions, and we gave it to someone else. We tossed our garbage elsewhere and left it to become someone else's problem. Now, most decent people, when I put it like this, would realize that that's not right, but we do it over and over again regardless. Because we convince ourselves our emotions won't affect others like they affect us. We rationalize things so that it sounds like self-care. We are expressing ourselves, and self-expression is healthy, right? That is why I really dislike the terms venting, downloading, and decompressing. Because those terms all imply the same thing, that we are removing pressure from ourself and putting it elsewhere. And that usually means onto someone else. When what we really should be doing is making an attempt to neutralize toxic emotions, feel them, yes, not ignore them, not pretend they're not there, not fight against them, but not to let them control us, our situation, or others' well-being. Like I said, there is a right and a wrong way to do this. And yes, self-expression is healthy and an essential part of life. But when how we go about it hurts other people, then we can no longer say it is healthy. There is a clear difference between having a bad day at work, coming home, yelling at your family like your boss yelled at you, or having skeletons in your closet that you never dealt with in your life and letting that build up and affect others around you every time something mildly annoying happens, and sitting down with a trusted confidant and telling them about your emotions calmly, in an effort to be vulnerable and make yourself feel heard, accepted, and to feel compassion for the struggle you are experiencing. Expressing anger doesn't mean yelling at an innocent bystander, and expressing sadness does not mean making someone else sad. Expressing an emotion means using language to tell a story of how your emotions make you feel, and opening up and making yourself vulnerable to someone you trust and who cares about you. Like everything else in life, we need to find a balance. We should not bottle everything up inside, nor should we throw a ton of our crap on someone who maybe is not in a place to take on something else at that moment, or who's going to be shocked and surprised by what you have to say. On one hand, we could be forcing someone over the edge when they just don't have anything else to give. Or on the other hand, we could be letting something toxic fester too long inside of us to the point it will cause more and more damage when it does come out. to us and possibly others as well. It may seem impossible to know how and when to talk about something, but that comes, unfortunately, with trial and error, and knowing the people you want to confide in. A huge step in this process is being able to ask. Ask if you could talk about something, and maybe hint at what that is at first, but don't get into it right away. Often we find it easier to just go full steam ahead and toss everything out there all at once, blindsiding the people we want to be able to talk to when they least expect it, because they don't have a chance to run if we just blurt it all out. It can be really scary to ask, to be able to open up about something important, because we fear the rejection. We fear being left behind for what we are feeling. Now, you don't need to ask permission to feel something, but you do need to ask permission to share that feeling with someone else, because it's not necessarily something that they are willing to do at that moment. You can't expect them to do that. But if we have really chosen the right people to be in our lives, then they should welcome the discussion with open arms, especially if they have forewarning. And sometimes we take the leap and it backfires, and making us feel lost and alone and like we have no one to talk to. Unfortunately, sometimes we might not have someone we can trust at the moments we need them. And if it happens that we don't have anyone we can or are willing to be vulnerable with, then that's when it's time to seek a third party, such as a therapist. It's not about the severity of the issues we're working with that require a professional or outside help. It's merely the support group we have, or lack thereof, that could determine whether or not we need to get help. In our infinitely diverse world, there are now online and phone-based resources for this very purpose. There's even text-based resources. You can have the subscription service and text a therapist if you need to. And before even that, it's even easier to find online-based support groups that could serve as a sounding board for issues we're working through. Of course, it's not a substitute for real people or people in real life, but it can be a good starting point in our journey to test the waters, so to speak. Before being able to talk to anyone, we also need to be able to make sure we can talk to ourselves. We need to know, to some extent, what it is we are feeling before we can hope to express it to someone else. And we need to understand the internal narrative before we try to explain it to someone else. This can all seem really daunting, especially when we are going through rough times. But it's not very complicated in the end. Not to say that it's easy, but it's not complicated. And we will be better for it if we can just, you know, work out a little bit and not give up. It just takes a little bit of introspection. The first step would be starting to find some key questions to ask yourself in a moment of need, such as, why am I feeling this way? When did this feeling first start? Is it possible this feeling is stemming from something deeper? And the most important question you can ask yourself, is this really true? We are masters of rationalization. We are pros at finding loopholes in ourselves and convincing ourselves of what we want to believe. But we are terrible liars. We cannot lie to ourselves. Try as we might, we will always know the truth in the backs of our minds. We know what we want and what we need, but often we are afraid to pursue it or ask for it when the time comes. So if you ask yourself a question, whether you admit the true answer to yourself right away or not, you will know. So when you're thinking that you are unworthy of love, that you are ugly, that you are stupid, or fill in the toxic self-talk blank here, and you ask yourself, is that really true? You will know it's not. That may not stop the spiraling instantly the first time you do it, but it will slow the downhill roll. And the best part is, the more often you do it, The more often you tell that toxic voice inside your head to go fuck itself, the more you will start to believe that you are worthy, you are loved, and you are beautiful inside and out. So to circle back to my point earlier, I use music to make a transition between events. Mostly that means when I'm in the truck, when I'm going to or coming from teaching. I love teaching. It is the truest passion of my life. Helping people find their power and confidence is amazing. But working with the public can suck ass quite often. People can be cruel. And not letting things get to you is a lot easier said than done. When they play, especially when they play right into your own negative self-worth narrative. When you are often telling yourself that you don't try hard enough, even though you work 2 jobs and 60 plus hours a week, and someone tells you, or even just implies, that you missed something, or you could make more effort into making something work, it can be devastating. Sometimes it could be even less than that. Sometimes it's just a mild annoyance, someone being a bit of a dick, you know, getting under your skin. Those are the moments I use music for. I use it like a shower, washing away a good chunk of the crud that has accumulated over the past few hours or days or weeks or whatever, and give myself a slightly clearer slate to work from for my next endeavor or my next event or whatever it is. It could even just be as simple as getting a little pumped up after, to have enough energy to teach after a long day. I have a multitude of playlists and specific go-to songs that help me with any emotions, energy levels, or mindsets I could possibly ever have. And this helps me dilute my emotions slightly before dealing with them. So they don't seem like this huge, unclimbable mountain. Everything I just talked about, I have no way mastered. I don't think anyone ever could, honestly. But it is so much better than it has been in past years. I have such a better understanding of myself. And that negative voice in my head is so much quieter. She has a lot less to say and is a lot less confident in her convictions than before. There are days that she is louder, yes, and days that I believe more of what she has to say. But the most days, I can shut her up and call bullshit on her narrative. If I have one takeaway I want you all to have from this episode, it's that you have all of the power here. You can flip the script and change your internal negative narrative. You can shut up the asshole whispering insults inside your head. All you have to do is ask, is that really true? Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the episode, make sure you subscribe or follow the podcast website so you get notified when there are new episodes. Also, it would help me tremendously if you left a review and let me know your thoughts. Questions can be submitted to info@theempoweredequestrian.ca or as comments and direct messages anywhere you find me on social media. Check out the show notes for links to everything I talked about today, as well as all of my resources and links to where you can find me on the interwebs and social media. Always remember, the information on this podcast is intended to provide helpful and informative material and should not be considered a substitute for medical advice or treatment. Bye for now.